Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Faceoff. You're finding fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and the newly minted Dad of the Year, or right. I don't even know what you're a father-in-law now.
Yes, I am. I finally have a son, son-in-law. So
it's your first male.
Yes, that's absolutely. Cool. Oh, it's very cool. Coming from a family, I have five brothers, no sisters. I have two daughters. We're getting some more male blood going through here. It's all
that's
good.
That's totally flipped for me, right? Because I come from all boys.
Yep.
My mom was the only boy of. Only girl of five brothers. My dad had three brothers. My daughter Madeline was the first coined female in 64 years.
Wow. Yep.
So now, of course, I have three granddaughters, one granddaughter and two granddaughters on the way. Anyways, congratulations, Rich.
Thank you.
And thank you so much to Phil Mickelson and the Detroit News for bringing us one of the more bizarre stories not just in golf, Keith. This you and I, we were all talking about this a little bit off air, and as a journalist, give us your thoughts about this whole thing.
Well, as a career newspaper man, I'll defend the newspapers to the hilt.
I know you have.
They do anything.
We've had some pretty big arguments about some of this
stuff. Yes, we have. But in this case, I got to tell you, I think Phil Mickelson's got a good case. I read the story, and I said, why is this news? Right. Why is this news now? The Detroit News went to 14-year-old court documents, 2007, to talk about a case involving a mafia guy, Jack Giacalone, and how one of his associates allegedly cheated Phil Mickelson out of $500,000. Mickelson did nothing wrong, no wrongdoing, nothing at all, and his name gets dredged through the mud when he comes to Detroit to play in a 3-year-old tournament that's struggling to get going. I don't know what the Detroit News was thinking with this.
And it was just a small passage in the court report. It had nothing to do with the trial.
Yeah,
I used to know Neil Fink. We
know him very well.
Yeah, well, he's passed away now.
Yeah.
Phil was the victim in this whole thing. I mean, and that, you know what I mean?
He did nothing wrong. There's no wrongdoing at all. And he comes to Detroit and he sees his name on page one above the fold in a big story of...
welcome to Detroit, Phil.
You know, this is... it's hard to defend, for sure.
I don't see how it, like you said, it's new. I guess the only way they can even publish the story is because it's part of a public record, which is those trans... I mean, it's a bull bleep opportunity to take one of the cheapest shots that I've ever seen.
I completely agree. I don't know why the Detroit News would want to make a splash like that. I mean, Phil Mickelson, come on. With the PGA champ at 3 weeks shy of his 51st birthday, one of the greatest golfers in the history of the game, and used to come up north these parts and play in that par three tournament. Up there
at Treetops, right?
And he comes to Detroit and he sees this and says, I'm not coming back.
Right.
This hurts a struggling young tournament.
I thought Rocket Mortgage did it. It was a major get for them to get Mickelson to come here because there's a big following with Mickelson. There's no question about it. People want to see him because he's so good to the crowd and people love that and signs autographs and balls for kids and things like that. So, and you don't think that they're upset about this whole news?
Well, we haven't heard anything from them yet.
Officially,
Which is shocking to me.
Oh.
This is a huge company. Not only is Rocket Mortgage a huge company, it's a division of Dan Gilbert's company.
That's correct.
Who is arguably the most important businessman in Detroit since the passing of Mike Ilitch.
And Peter Karmanos is sort of,
I see he just sold the rest of his stakes in the hurricane.
That's correct.
I don't think Pete is of good health.
I don't think so either. Yeah. But he has been good health
in quite a long time.
But you're right. Dan Gilbert is the guy now
in
Detroit. You know, he's buying up buildings like Monopoly, and I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. I'm sure he's talking with the Detroit newspaper agency. All that advertising that he does in Detroit. That's a big part of the.
Well, that.
Oh my Lord!
Who was the author of the story?
This guy named Snell. I don't know.
Last name
Snell. No,
I don't know. Got to be a fairly
and,
new
and
guy.
His, and his editor kind of defended him, but his that guy's going to get fired.
Oh,
the editor is going to get fired. That's a Gannett newspaper, isn't it?
The Detroit News is our Free Press is the Gannett newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Now. They've swapped.
All right.
You're right. Somebody's going to pay for this, I think.
Well, it's the editor's fault. The editor has complete
right to
editorial
the top.
It went
control.
Right,
that's right.
Yeah.
Right to the top, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the other shoe's going to drop. Maybe behind the scenes before we hear everything about it. But you got to believe that there's a lot of stuff going on right now about this thing.
Yeah, it's and the funny thing is, I love Phil Mickelson.
I do too.
I'm a huge fan. Now, I'm not blind to some of the things that Phil has done.
His shortcomings, yes.
there's even a lot of rumors that have not been fully proven. They're kind of like some of the Michael Jordan stories, not nearly to the degree of Michael Jordan, but the story is that when the Ryder Cup was at Oakland Hills, Phil changed equipment that week. Ooh. He changed from being a Titleist player with Titleist irons and equipment to Callaway. And Callaway did it to pay off a ton of Mickelson gambling debts.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And that was the weekend that Tiger and Phil played together and lost twice.
Yeah.
And the United States ended up getting spanked badly
by the
Euros.
Yep.
In the most embarrassing Ryder Cup performance by the Americans before or since.
And Phil was going to be part of an ownership group to get in on the San Diego Padres and suddenly withdrew late in the process because of he chose to get out of it, shall we
say.
Well,
he also had, the news also mentioned the stuff that happened on Wall Street where he had to give money back and everything else. So it was a complete torpedo job by the Detroit News and completely uncalled for.
I agree with that. It was uncalled for. I don't understand it. And, good on him for saying what he said and fighting back a little bit.
Well, let's put it this way. He's now with Tiger Woods on the sideline.
Yep.
He is the biggest star in golf. You can talk about Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau or whatever.
Yep.
I mean, he makes the needle move. He's got this deal going on with DeChambeau and Brady and Rogers coming up this, Tuesday, I think.
Yeah,
it is,
in Montana.
Rich,
yeah.
Which is going to get huge ratings.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And Phil has never been shy about talking about his feelings. He had it out with the USGA for a dozen years about setups of their golf course. But Phil is always says what's on his mind no matter what it is. And, even though he didn't fare well at Torrey Pines with the reconditions and everything else, he went to great lengths to praise the USGA for a perfect setup.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So his talking points about golf are usually pretty solid. People compare Phil to Jack Nicklaus. Arnold Palmer used to call Jack Nicklaus Karnak, from Karnak.
Right.
Because Nicklaus knew he was right about everything, no matter what. Mickelson has a lot of that going on, right?
Yeah.
He'll talk about physics of the ball and all this and all that. And I've never played golf with him. I've only met Mickelson once, talked to him for maybe 2 minutes, and nothing like that happened. But I've heard from many different people in many different areas that as soon as you open your mouth and start talking about something, Phil's got a better story. And Phil...
got a one-up. Yeah.
And you know...
Kind of like us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, that's... but the other story, since we're talking golf, and I'm so happy to talk off. We do this for an hour, folks, on Saturdays and Sundays on a show called Finding Fairways right here on this very radio network. So if you like golf talk, we got a great show planned in fact, I'm going to tape this as soon as we're done doing the program here on Friday Face Off. Our first guest is Steve Brady, who is the head golf professional at Oakland Hills, who just got done with a really expensive remodel of that golf course by Gil Hans. So, and Brady, a very fine player on his own. He's won a number of Michigan golf events and played in the PGA Championship. So that is our first segment. Kevin Frisch and I will talk a more about what happened with Phil and some of the other things that are going on in the PGA Tour. And then they had the AJGA Golf Championships at Boyne, and the future of golf, we'll be talking about that as well. So, but the other story that kind of came up is Bryson DeChambeau.
This would be headlines if it wasn't for the Phil story.
You know, it's not as big a headline because it's not Tiger Woods.
But he's the defending champ.
Well, yeah, he's the defending champ of this event. This is a second-tier event.
I get it.
You know, it's the jumping-off point. Phil talked about this.
He did.
Guys are leaving to go to the British Open and everything else. It's a bad spot on the calendar.
Yes.
And the only reason why it's an event, and, you know, Keith, you bring up a great point. You know, Ricky Fowler is the spokesperson for Rocket. Yes. He's having a horrible year.
Yes.
He didn't even qualify for the he did qualify for the Masters and got a special exemption into the PGA, didn't play in the U.S. Open.
Right.
So, you know, a very popular player, but he's having one of those years. That DeChambeau came back because he won, but, you know, if he had, I don't know what this field would look like if DeChambeau wasn't in, it doesn't look like he's going to make the cut.
Yeah.
So that means Phil better make the cut because TV ratings are going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what drives the needle.
It is.
For this sport. But anyways, Bryson DeChambeau and his caddy, the only caddy he's really ever had on the PGA Tour, had what's known as a divorce. And it happened.
Or at least the trial separation.
Abruptly.
Well, we'll see how well Bryson plays. They might not, you know, might not last very long, Keith.
Right.
You know, if your wife did all the typing.
There always seems to be at least one or two reconciliations.
Yeah, you know. And DeChambeau has got to be an extraordinarily difficult guy to caddy for to begin with. You know, with all this technical mumbo jumbo,
heavy and analytical guy,
but also the determination, Rich. The you know what he did to himself to transform his body and have a singular focus and try something that nobody else has done.
Yeah.
Guys have been chasing distance in this game forever, and it's ruined huge careers. It ruined Curtis Strange.
John Daly?
No, John Daly was always long. John Daly's career was ruined because he was a drunk.
Okay, I'll buy that.
No, it's all right. What's his name? From CBS, Ian Baker Finch. Ruined his career. Ruined Justin Leonard's career. Guys that, you know, win and go, well, to take the next level, I got to hit the ball another 20 yards, and they just it just screws everything up. It just, you know, we were talking about Nick Faldo. Give Faldo credit. He realized that this is my game.
Right.
And I've got to play it, and if they're changing the rules that much, well, that's the way it goes. I'm CBS, here I come.
Yeah.
But, you know, the caddy relationship, I was a caddy for a long time, never at the level of doing this. And it's one of those really interesting jobs in sports. You know, it's kind of like a jockey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've heard the greats like Bones McKeon talk about this, part psychologist, part nursemaid, you know.
Cheerleader.
Yeah, you know, your fortunes are completely tied to this guy. It's kind of like being a butler in a rich house, right? You know, how much do you subjugate your own personality?
Right.
Like being a fantastic baseball manager or something, you know, where, you know, your fortunes are tied to your guys, right? And so DeChambeau fires him on the eve of the tournament and, you know, poops the bed. So we'll see if he can turn it around. But we were talking about Phil Mickelson and then Tiger Woods, right? So I'll tell this story. I was going to tell this. Now it's disjointed, but I'll tell it anyway. So I was playing some in this golf event and got paired with Mark O'Meara for a few holes. This is when O'Meara was Tiger Woods' really only friend.
Mm-hmm.
O'Meara gave me the one of the great playing lessons that I still use today. The way this was set up is I played in this event with a whole bunch of very wealthy older guys, and we were playing round robins with a whole bunch of professionals, and I was a a better than average golfer at the time. So I played with O'Meara, and the other guys were playing the silver tees, like way down the fairway. And so O'Meara and I were pretty much just with each other the whole time. Anyways, we're playing this par five, and we both hit great drives, and we're going to go for the green in two. But we're on a, like a downhill, side hill lie, and I've got a three iron in my hand, and I come over the top and smother it. You know, and O'Meara goes, you know, Jerry, that used to happen to me all the time. I didn't even ask him for help. You know, he's like steps into the breach there. Nice. I go, yeah, it's a hard shot. He goes, one of the hardest shots that we ever have to play on a regular basis. He goes, next time you have this shot, do this. And then he gets up and he opens his stance and he kind of hits this cut and hits it onto the front of the green.
Wow.
And he goes, well, try that. Just try to hit it like Fred Couples. So I get over the ball and hit it like within 3 feet of his ball.
Wow.
And I've always had that same – I do it all the time.
Right.
So right at the end of that hole, he leaves to go to another group. And I've got his golf ball. And it's a Titleist. It's got O on it, you know, for O'Meara, right? So he eats dinner with us at the end of the thing. And, you know, I was peppering him questions about Tiger Woods, and he didn't talk about him at all. But so I sat down, and I go, hey, Mark, would you mind signing this golf ball? Is that a big deal? He goes, only bleeping Tiger Woods doesn't sign golf balls.
Really?
And I've got a whole bunch of signed golf balls. He goes, you know, I don't know what Tiger was all about there. I've been trying to talk to him for years about loosening it up and everything else. And we've seen the transformation of Tiger Woods.
Right.
But, you know, legendarily, one of the biggest a-holes in the sport of a sport of that a lot of guys are that way because it's so you've got to have so much focus and so much confidence and be able to put your failures behind you. It's like being a pitcher in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
It's so one of the hardest sports to be great at, you know, because you so much consistency and it's constantly changing. Like you said, young guys coming in and hitting it further and the equipment, and it's so hard to be great at golf.
Every shot.
You got to be focused. I mean, if you were following Mickelson in his remarkable win at the PGA, you know, he talked about how much he's been losing focus for just a few shots around. It happens to me all the time.
And that's all it takes.
You know, it's hard to concentrate that long. And, you know, he was saying he was playing 36 a day just so he could get to 18 clear holes in his mind.
And when you watch that PGA Championship, going back a few weeks, of course, he took a lot more time in between each shot. Mm-hmm. He really was it was noticeable the change in how he played.
Yeah, you know, Phil, a lot of guys still think that Phil is phony, you know, that he does all the signatures and the thumbs up and everything else for his brand, but he's 100% consistent about it, and he always took that from Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
You know, Palmer said to him, and he said to a lot of guys that haven't done it as well as Phil, you know, try to connect with each person, even if it's only for a second. You know, look them in the eye, say thank you, get their name. Mickelson is great about remembering your name, just like Arnie was. You know, it's a gift that, you know, and look at Arnold Palmer was no saint. You know some of the stories about Arnold Palmer.
Sure.
And Phil Mickelson is certainly no saint, but to be able to give back to your fan base at that kind of – it takes effort.
Yeah.
No question about it. And those athletes at that level who do that are real, real, real special. Joe DiMaggio, the story about Joe DiMaggio playing a game where he hits a weak ground ball to shortstop, easy out, but he runs his ass off the first base. One of the teammates said, "Why do you run so hard on a routine ground ball like this?" He said, "What about the 7-year-old kid who's sitting in the stadium there, and this is the only time he gets to watch me play?"
That's right.
I'm playing the game the right way.
And, you know, that's my only little gripe about Al Kaline. You know, Kaline would really only sign anything unless he was at a being paid to do it.
Yeah.
He was one of the first guys to do that. We've had this discussion about, you know, I've seen huge athletes turn kids down for autographs that you knew were not collectors under, you know, Kurt Gibson. I told you that story.
They'd walk right past kids, you know.
Just one-off circumstances. I get it. If you know, like you're at a restaurant and you think, like, if I'm going to sign one autograph, then I'm going to have to sign 17 autographs.
Yes.
And so when Kurt Gibson says, not right now, kid, to a one kid in a place where there's only 25 people and they're all really rich guys who aren't coming up for your freaking autograph.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to take, my dad almost had to pull me. I said, Dad, I'm throwing that guy out of here. Screw this guy. And, and that stuff just, because it's a, when you get asked for an autograph, Keith, you find it as a privilege. It's a compliment.
Yeah, I have a few times, and it's kind of a weird feeling.
It is a weird feeling.
What do you want my autograph for? But I can understand it. You know, Steve Yzerman in a restaurant in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, being jealous, but to see Sergei Fedorov walk by a Make-A-Wish kid, you know, and not sign an autograph.
Oh yeah.
That bothered the hell out of me.
And, right.
And, it's just too easy to make one kid happy.
But when Mickelson just there signing piece after piece after piece after piece after piece and talking to people while he's doing it, that's an effort.
Gordy, how is that?
Yeah.
Like? I mean, there's a story about Doc Finley, who's no longer with us, wrote the book Hockey Town Doc, tells a story about Gordy Howe. He was at an event, and there was Gordy was signing, and he signed until the line was done.
Right.
But there was some waitress or somebody working the event, and he said, "I'll get you." He said, "Don't worry, I know you're busy. I'll get you before I leave." And he left, and he's driving home, and he realized that he forgot to sign the autograph for and he turned his car around, and he drove back, and he found that woman and signed the autograph for him. That was Gordy Howe.
I'll tell you, really, I don't know if I'll get through this story. My mom was dying of cancer, and the TPC seniors were at Ford Dearborn at TPC Country Club, and my mom loved Tom Kite. So I bought, but Kite had recently written a book, and I knew he was playing in the Pro Am. So I went out there because that's usually the day that you can get all
a little more access.
Right. So I find Kite's group out there, and there's hardly anybody out on the golf course, but it just so happens that he's playing in the Pro-Am with a guy I went to high school with, Greg Fisher. So Fish sees me, and we're talking, walking down the fairway, and he goes, "What are you doing here?" He goes, "How come you're not playing?" I said, "Well, I can't afford this, Greg. You can afford $10,000 to play, but I can't." And then I told him, I said, "Well, I wanted hopefully to get a minute to have Tom sign this book for my mom." And they play another hole, and then Tom comes over to me. He goes, "I understand that you want me to sign something." And I said, "Yeah, you know, my mom's not feeling so well. And she loves you. You're her favorite athlete." He goes, "Why the hell is that?" I go, "I don't know." He goes, "I think you remind her, you know, you're just like the nerdy kid that really has achieved." And so he wrote this beautiful, beautiful inscription to my mom. And I just thought that was really classy.
For sure. Yeah, so, when athletes do stuff like that, it sticks with you. You'll remember it the rest of your life.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
So we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Face-Off. We've got some NBA, some NHL, some Detroit Tigers. And are we going to talk about Aaron Rodgers? I don't know, but stick around. You'll see if we do or not. That's all brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey.
What did I miss?
Since we were talking about it, we might as well talk about it for a minute. Welcome back to a Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Rich Calkins, Keith Gave. And as we were outlining, if you don't watch a lot of the sports talk shows on television, or it's actually becoming something on the radio, Rich.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has the opportunity to declare that he doesn't want to play. That, you know, it was understandable, Keith, opt-outs last year.
Not this year. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I haven't heard of an opt-out yet.
I haven't either. A lot of players opted out last year.
Yeah.
But,
although with this Delta variant now.
Get vaccinated.
Vaccinated, I agree.
They just announced the lottery for the state of Michigan.
I saw that.
Anyways, and I'm sure there's some athletes that still haven't been vaccinated. There's been that subset of players. I don't see how they're not going to get vaccinated now.
Correct.
Like you said, the Delta. And anyways, but Aaron Rodgers can opt out for whatever reason. you know, supposedly under COVID. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is not worried about COVID.
And be
paid. It'd still be full salary.
Yeah.
Oh.
And avoid his fines.
Exactly. Talk about the ultimate giving the finger, middle finger to Green Bay would be that right now.
Yeah, I don't know what the recompense is afterwards. And most people think that it won't happen. I think that Rodgers will come back and play for the Packers because they have a great opportunity to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, you know, part of this pissed offness by Aaron Rodgers has to do with how they handled that last drive when they decided to kick the field goal at fourth and six.
And not give them another opportunity. Yeah.
Although Rodgers could have run that ball, the play in the round before.
Sure, could have. So, he has the athleticism to get into the end zone right there. They've played that over and over and over hundreds of times, JC. And, yeah, he made a mistake there.
Yeah, he made a mistake that he will never own up to.
Of course.
But, you know, say what you want about Aaron Rodgers. He's as good as it gets. He's as good as we've ever seen. Yeah. He might be the absolute best thrower of the football I've ever seen.
His accuracy is amazing.
His deep ball accuracy on the run is 10 times better than Joe Montana's. Montana could throw on the run and be very accurate, but he could only do it for 25, 30 yards. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers can throw it 70 yards on a dime, running the other way. The only other guy that I could ever see that, and he wasn't nearly as accurate as Rodgers, is John
Elway.
Yeah. But Elway was not nearly as accurate as Rodgers.
Right.
And he's got, I mean, he can drop it in. He's a talent.
He throws from all angles. He's got escapability. He's almost the perfect quarterback.
Yeah, he is. He's so smart. Yep. You know, he can't beat Brady. So I don't know what that means, but.
That Hail Mary that he threw to beat Detroit.
Oh.
Still haunts me. That ball must have been 70 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It dropped it right in the basket.
Yes.
I can't remember who caught it, but he was very well covered.
Yeah.
You know, so Rodgers is gifted beyond all words. Yes, he's a diva. I get that. He's probably a guy that doesn't sign a lot of autographs.
I hope he doesn't play.
He doesn't.
I don't know what the lines are going to be, but it gives him a little bit. Better shot.
I'm so interested to see what the Lions are going to be like this year. NFL Weekly said that they have the 10th best offensive line in football.
Better than that, I think.
Well, we'll find out if it stays healthy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested to see what Goff is going to be like. You know, if these the only real question mark for this football team, if you ask me, is not Jared Goff, it's the wide receivers.
Really the only positional place that of unproven players. Really, those guys, Breshad Perriman and the other guy, just aren't big time names when we're used to seeing pretty big names at the receiver position for the Lions.
The Lions have sunk a lot of money in wide receivers, and for the last 10-15 years, and. So Goff does not have that. Doesn't mean these kids aren't great.
Yeah.
And, you know, Goff, the one thing that they liked from him when he came out of Cal, same school as Aaron Rodgers, by the way, was his accuracy. So if he throws a good ball, these guys should be able to catch it, right? It's not like they're going to be diving all over the place trying to get Lamar Jackson balls.
And heavy emphasis on the run game, the play action, a lot more. I mean, I think you're going to see a totally different offense this year.
We're talking about the offense and all these questions, but the defense. What's the defense going to look like?
Well, the defensive line is going to be good.
I think the offense is going to score enough points, but how can the defense contain the other guys?
The biggest question is not the front four for me. They drafted two kids.
Michael Brockers in a trade. Good player from the Rams.
Yeah. So it's going to be linebacking and DBs. And, you know, I hate to sound hopeful. I'm counting that Jeff Okuda will have a pretty damn good year this year. That's just the way I think he
was injured more, and the lack of connection with the coaching last year, everything to do with that. He was overwhelmed as a rookie. He'll play better this year than he did last. I truly believe that.
Yeah, I think Patricia really didn't do him any favors. No. I think he abused the kid probably emotionally, mentally, and so on, and he regressed. Which, yes. He came out of Ohio State, you know, come on. He was a third overall guy?
Well, look, they never should have taken him. I mean, yeah. They should have traded the pick and moved down, and they didn't. And it's the Lions' mistake. It's not Jeff Okuda's mistake. And then he caved into the pressure, which is understandable.
Right.
So I'm thinking football.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think football. Too. Since we're here at this part, we got a couple minutes. We haven't really talked about all the NCAA stuff.
Oh man.
So the Supreme Court slapped the NCAA close to out of existence.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sure did.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going, what the NCAA is going to look like in the next few years, but they had no choice, so they went ahead and just allowed all this image stuff, and players are now going to get paid for their likenesses and signing jerseys, and it sounds like they'll even be able to be paid for appearances.
It looks like. Yeah, these are really, really interesting times for college sports. Really, and football being the
biggest money maker,
exactly, and then basketball to the next. But I wonder what's going to happen with all the other sports. We're gonna see a lot of other second tier, third tier men's and women's sports disappear.
No, I couldn't disagree more.
I think they're going to. I think that's the great worry right now.
Well, they'll disappear if they have to actually start playing players.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they do it right, if the university is smart enough to assist the athletes and baseball players and swimmers and everything else, being able to get just a little bit of here and just a little bit there to be able to pay for appearance at swimming, to be an assistant swim instructor or whatever else. If they can do it the right way, it'll be great for everybody. It'll be the water that floats all boats. But if they don't, and then whatever players union is going to come about to pay the players, then there won't be any money in the budgets to pay for other sports.
It's going to be really, really interesting. Yeah. The next 5 years, the landscape is going to change so dramatically.
Oh, it is. It's going to be such a learning curve on everybody's end.
Yep.
For sure, the next 5 years.
Yeah.
We don't have time to talk about it now, but have you guys looked at Michigan's schedule?
No. I have not.
No.
Okay. They'll be lucky to win 5 games.
They playing football this year, Michigan?
Are they going to play at Michigan State? I guarantee
yes,
you,
they
I
are.
Guarantee you the
yes,
one
they
win,
are.
The one win on Michigan's schedule is at Michigan State.
You guarantee that?
I guarantee
you.
Here we go.
I guarantee it right now.
But you get the one win right anyway.
Michigan has got a bear of a schedule.
You say that every year. You know,
they've already been ranked as the third hardest schedule in the NCAA.
Have they? I haven't seen it.
They play the three hardest teams in the West Division, Wisconsin, and Northwestern.
Nebraska.
And who's the other? I can't remember who the third one is. The only break they have at all is that they have Ohio State at home. That's it. They got Washington coming in as the second game.
Yeah.
They play Western Michigan in the first game of the year, and Western Michigan is predicted to win the MAC this year.
So
take a look at the schedule.
If that's your break, hosting Ohio State, that's not much of a break.
That is the biggest break they have. So, I mean, it's all over.
We're talking football.
We're talking football.
Very cool.
July 4th weekend. I like it.
Just college, just one wrap up, because I don't think we ever talked about it. Mike Krzyzewski is retiring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They already named his successor.
They did.
Which I was kind of surprised at the guy that they named, given all the possibilities of all the great Duke players who are now really good coaches.
They get the most recent one.
Yeah, I was surprised that Seeger has gotten the job, but it'll be interesting to see what happens at Duke if he can actually field one last great team and make one last great run through the NCAA tournament.
Typical coaching rule 101, never follow a legend. Well, they don't get much bigger than Mike Krzyzewski.
I don't think any of those guys, the Amakers, who's the kid at at Utah, any of those guys probably would have taken the job right away.
Yeah. No.
Take it to get the next one. Get the next round.
Okay. Well, that's your guys' thoughts on it. That's fine.
No, if you get a chance to coach at one of the greatest programs of all time, you don't get a second chance.
I understand completely the following the legend. Okay, it doesn't always the case.
Right.
Moeller did a pretty damn good job following Bo.
He did.
Okay? He sure did. He did.
So, and do you want to take the chance of when the legend leaves? I mean, North Carolina came this close to being irrelevant. So when it doesn't take long for you to lose all the mojo.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's right.
Especially under the new terms that Keith is outlining for what's going to happen with athletes and guys being able to go directly to the NBA and everything else. You know, Duke loses its luster 2 years in a row, and where are they at? At a really hard school to get into.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Judd Heathcote wasn't necessarily a legend like that, but he was had a pretty special career. Tom Izzo did all right coming in.
Well, he was groomed.
He was groomed.
Yeah.
He was groomed.
And maybe Seager's groomed.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know,
yes.
Because, you know, and they did it right away. There was no speculation. They didn't, you know,
no.
There wasn't.
No, Krzyzewski announced that he's retiring, and they announced the successor.
Exactly what happened in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got the two.
With Roy. And
the two biggest coaches in the sport retiring. At the, you know, Roy's out. Krzyzewski got one more year.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can keep that rivalry intact. That's my wish.
Yes.
All right. When we return here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, we'll talk Keith Gave's favorite sport, fishing. No.
All right.
It's all brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, and we'll be right back.
That was incredible.
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave, and we were just talking about the just backbreaking, maybe series-defining goal that Keith might go down in hockey history with, like the Bobby Orr goal flying through
the air and winning the
0.3 seconds left, where the Canadians are completely dominating, the Lightning, and then a flick of the wrist, just a quarter of
diving,
fraction,
prone,
but the defenseman is right there. Just an unbelievable play.
It was Blake Coleman is the guy who scored it. Will go down as one of the greatest goals in the history of hockey, Stanley Cup hockey for sure. A heads up play, obviously. He made a good play along the boards to get the play started, but Lightning go into the dressing room with a 2-1 lead, and they were completely dominated. And as a matter of fact, the Lightning played a horrible game in Game 2, the best game maybe of the playoffs that the Canadians played, and they lose the game 3-1. I mean, now they go to Quebec to play before 3,500 fans, which is a disgrace. They can't open that thing up and put 21,000 people in that building for Game 3 and 4. It's
Yeah, come on, Trudeau.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Come on is right.
I don't know. You know what? The Delta variant is not helping anything.
No, but they say that the province of Quebec has like an 80% vaccination rate, it's like 2 cases per 100,000. I mean, they've got it beat.
Right.
And they still can't open it up and let more. I've heard on the NHL network on the radio, Sirius Radio, Channel 91, by the way. But there's a pair of tickets at Center Ice for tonight's game, $35,000.
Well, I believe it. If they're only going to be 3,500 in there.
Yep.
I mean, obviously the Canadians have to win tonight to protect my bet.
There'll be 10 times that amount out in the streets, Keith.
There will be. The Canadians, I'm not counting them out. I've loved this team all the way through. I've counted them out every round, and they keep winning. They're going to make this thing a series. I don't know that they can
win. Well, they were so
games.
Much better defensively in Game 1 than they were Game 2. Bottled them up.
Yep.
It seems like they have Kucherov figured out. Braden Point is really the only buddy that they can't deal with. You know, Steven Stamkos is not the same player.
No, he's older now.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, I know he's been injured a lot, But he's not the, and I haven't seen him on the ice playing a lot of hockey, Keith, but he's not, he's maybe a fraction of the player that he used to be.
I absolutely agree with you. And when they bottle up Kucherov, you know, Braden Point is a superstar right now, but it's their back end. The guys like Sorelli's and Coleman's and Paquette's and Palat's and those guys who you never hear of until this time of year when they really, it's like the grind line when Chris Draper and, Kirk Maltby and those guys would score big goals in the playoffs. Yeah. You know, that's what Tampa reminds me of right now.
Well, and they have a pretty darn good goalie.
They have a really 42 or 43 shots the other night. Yeah. And Carey Price is pretty darn good, but Vasilevsky is outplaying him right
now. Yeah, Vasilevsky is out. Well, he's just bigger. He covers way more of the net naturally than Carey Price.
Big
that,
goalie.
To me, is the difference. I think they're the exact same goalie. It's just that, you know, Carey Price is here and – Kucherov Vasilevsky is. Yeah. I mean, there's. You just look at Vasilevsky in front of the net. Yeah. There's not a lot of places to put the puck.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
You know, Carey Price is a lot like Dryden. You know, he's the small. Might be the smallest goalie in the league.
I don't know about that. I have to look, but
he was in the bottom third.
I would think so because I mean, goalies are all they're looking for 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", goaltenders.
Did 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 235, 245.
Correct.
Did Stevie draft Vasilevsky?
He drafted Braden Point in the third round.
Third round, okay.
Well, he better do that this year.
Right. No, absolutely. And by the way, as long as we're talking about Steve Eisenman, we made a good hire yesterday, the day before, a guy named Alex Tanguay.
Well, but you don't know what – I mean, you said Cooper and everything else, but Tanguay doesn't have a track record at all, so it'll be interesting.
No, it will be interesting. It will be interesting, and I'll give Steve Eisenman the benefit of the doubt, man. You know, finding these guys – he played against Alex Tanguay when the Detroit – Red Wings and Colorado Avalanche were in the height.
Very fine hockey player.
And, you know, this kid is hired. This guy is in his 40s now. Is hired to as an assistant coach to Jeff Blashill to run the power play. And Kevin knows the Red Wings need it.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how he does.
Switching to the NBA, which has become the triage
league. War of attrition now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too bad.
Do you have any theories about that, by the way?
No.
I mean, is it the condensed schedule that they played or anything
just
like that?
One of those years.
Just, you know, have said, you know, showed that, there's been so many NBA series that have been affected by injuries.
Yes.
The Pistons and Isaiah Thomas and his ankle.
Would have won three in a row.
There's four in a row when they clanked heads, when Vinny and Adrian Dantley clanked heads.
Yeah.
I mean, basketball is a non-contact sport, Keith. Yeah. All the guys that play it are pussy.
I was sitting 15 feet away from that, right at the –
Seriously.
Right there
in Boston
Garden. Sat
on the floor for an NBA playoff game, especially – You know, it still has changed. It's still, you know, it's a high-flying game. That's why my ankles are so screwed up. I was a flyer. I mean, I could get my vertical was 29 inches.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty
for a 6'6" dude.
Oh,
yeah.
I just slapped balls off the back of backboards, and you know, but you come down, you land on people's foot. You guys seen my ankle? Yeah. It's not
that
pretty.
That 6'6" guy that's up in the air has got to come down.
You know, I'm lucky I never did the inverted knee that happened to Giannis.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going to be able to come back. So I was surprised that Trae Young hasn't played yet. I'm sure he's going
to
play. In the next game, he's got to.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you guys watched the celebration by the Phoenix Suns and some of the interviews with Chris Paul. Chris Paul, you know, has been a tremendous player. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Never even been to the finals. And, man, I took so much pleasure in watching him finally do this with another team in the gym of the team that he had all his success with. They got rid of him. And it's just one of those stories that, you know, kuda, good for you, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the gal at interview said, you know, NBA Western Conference champions and NBA championship up next. How does that – he goes, that sounds damn good. Damn good. And he's talking to his family was up in the box, and he's talking up there. He goes, you know, we've had all the injuries, and we've had all the setbacks, and we've had all the bad losses, and now we've got it all. You know, and it was just, you know, it's one of those things that really, you know, Keith, you know this. Rich, you know this. You know, it's hard to live an athletic life.
That's why we follow sports.
Yeah.
That very thing.
But for to get
16th year,
to get to
an old school point guard, non-three-point shooting guy that just would distribute but still scores 40-some points in the final game. It just like, I love the old school point guard.
I just hope he doesn't get hurt.
Yes.
You know, because that's happened to him before. It was one of the derailed, one of the great Clipper teams. The one year where, what's his name, Blake Griffin wasn't hurt.
He's had horrible luck.
Yeah, horrible luck. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yes.
For Chris Paul, and we'll see what happens. You know, hopefully it's the Bucks and the Suns, because we kind of thought that Chris Paul should go to Milwaukee and turn that franchise around, and Giannis can play, and we could get an epic NBA championship. I've been watching the NBA playoffs from the sidelines, and now's the perfect time to get into the action with FanDuel Sportsbook during the conference finals. New users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. What conference finals do you like, and which team would you choose to win the next game? Well, it's going to be Atlanta or Milwaukee, right, Rich?
Yeah, that's right, JC, for sure. And you're going to get paid in as little as 24 hours. Plus, the app is so easy to use. Just sign up with the promo code WGRY to bet on the NBA conference finals on those 30-1 odds.
Use promo code WGRY, which unlocks 30-1 odds on any playoff team to win their next game, exclusively on the FanDuel Sports app.
21 and over and must be present in the state of Michigan. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund and bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Site credits that expire in 7 days. Max bonus is $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. We'll be back to talk about the Detroit Tigers and Miguel Cabrera. I can't wait to rub it in these guys' faces. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on WGRY, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey.
Keith
we've got it on tape. I should have found it and queued it up, both because, you know, you're not the only one. Rich said the same thing. Miguel Cabrera is finished. Well, guys, I'm selling advertising packages right now for Tiger Baseball that you can buy by the month because in July, Miguel Cabrera is going to join the 500 club.
All eyes are going to be on Detroit and Miguel Cabrera.
Yep.
No question about it.
You know, when he gets to 499, ESPN will be cutting in on every single
bat.
But I'm more interested in is now he has made the 3,000 hit looking possible,
reachable?
Keith.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. If it was Miguel Cabrera of age 31, we'd all be saying no problem.
Right. Oh, sure.
But right now, as locked in as he looks like like the MVP of the league when he won the Triple Crown. Right this minute, that's what I see.
Yeah, he can no longer hit at will like he used to.
Oh, yeah, just
to
like flick the bat.
And do what he wanted to do. It's a little bit harder for him now, but he's working at it. He's focused like we haven't seen him in a long time.
And yep.
I said what I said because it seemed like he lost that.
Yep.
It wasn't there anymore, and you're paying him $34-35 million a year, and I'm thinking they'll never be able to get rid of him, and I wish they could. Now, of course, he's giving us something to get excited about.
And we're into July. He loves warm weather. The warm weather is here to stay. Certainly in the Metro Detroit area.
The Tigers are going to make $35 million off of him this year. That ballpark is going to be crowded.
I really hope. I hope so that they come out to Comerica Park.
We need to see that again.
Yeah.
Look, I know I'm beating this into the ground. I've got it all over the sales packages. You can call me at 989-348-6171, and you can buy a month of Tigers baseball on Up North Sports Radio and be part of history.
Yeah.
Because this is history, guys.
Because that radio announcement, when he hits, is going to live on
that will
forever.
Live forever, and you can be part of those broadcasts. Your business can be part of those broadcasts for a very small sum of money. You can buy them for 1 month, but like I said, I think that the real race is going to be to 3,000. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. It's not if, it's when.
Right.
Yeah.
It's actually not if, but when for both, because if he does it, you know, if he ends up at the, 29, 92 right. at the end of the year.
Then next year's going to start out pretty exciting.
It's going to be pretty damn exciting. But I know Cabrera, that's why he's locked in, Keith, to do something that no one in baseball history has done or will probably ever do again, and that is both 500 and 3,000 in the same season.
Right.
Yeah, that's magical. I mean, it's just,
don't even have a word. They're going to call it a Cabrera.
Yeah, because it's never been that. That would be just so amazing.
And he looks thinner. You know, he just looks good.
Yeah.
And he is helping this ball club. Did you see
What Haas said? They're sitting there on the bench talking, hitting with Miguel. He's like a playing coach right now. And he's talking, hitting, what to look for, doing things like that. He seems to be relishing that role, which I didn't know if he would like that with a bunch of young.
I think he's always been a pretty good teammate.
Younger player, but it's just he just seems to love it right now.
He looks like he's enjoying himself again, especially when he's playing first base. See what he did with Shohei Ohtani? hits him right in the groin.
That Ohtani is huge.
Oh, he's a big man.
He's
going to be the biggest Japanese guy I've ever seen.
He's a big
man. I know. He does not fit your stereotypical Asian player type. He's a big man.
No, not at all.
He may be one of the best baseball players in the history.
What do you mean? Jacob DeGrom is hitting the ball like a maniac.
Look at him.
Yep.
I mean, you're
talking about last night,
we're seeing Babe Ruth kind of baseball.
DeGrom had like a .64 ERA going into last night. Gave up three runs last night, but still
14 strikeouts.
.64 halfway through the season? You're kidding me.
No, it's remarkable, and I've always been surprised. You know, Drew Henson was that kind of baseball player.
Yeah.
Henson was a unbelievable pitcher. One of the greatest high school baseball game I ever saw is Brother Rice was playing Clarkston in the quarterfinals. And Drew Henson
went to Clarkston? Brighton.
Brighton. You're right. Brighton. And so Henson was pitching for Brighton, and Tommy Marks was pitching for Brother Rice, who was like the first-round draft pick by the Seattle Mariners. And Brighton won 1-0 on a Drew Henson home run.
Wow.
In the seventh inning.
Wow.
And Drew Henson, I don't know if he still owns the distinction, but at that point in time, he had hit more home runs than any other high school baseball player in American history.
Wow. I did not realize that.
Great pitcher.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he went to Michigan.
To play football.
Who was it? Lloyd Carr wouldn't let him play baseball. Yeah. He wanted to play both sports.
Right.
Tim Couch did that. Tim Couch was at Kentucky. Yeah. He was Mr. Basketball, Mr. Baseball, and Mr. Football in the state of Kentucky. And played baseball and football at Kentucky. Of course, he was a washout as an NFL quarterback.
I covered Michigan football that year. That one year they won the national championship. But the one Saturday morning practice that Lloyd invited the media to, it was in the indoor practice. We're all there, and of course there was Drew Henson with his father. You know, and Lloyd conveniently kind of pointed out who his special guest.
The kid was visiting at the time. Visit. Yeah. Henson was an unbelievable athlete, the guy. I'm glad to see that because generally speaking, when we grew up, the best player on the team was a pitcher who could also hit.
That's right.
The shortstop, or he played shortstop.
Played short. That's exactly right.
I
mean, we all know those kids. Mine was Tim Fitzgerald. I mean, he was just that great natural athlete.
And they played quarterback in the football team, and they were shooting guard.
Well, he was no quarterback.
or on the basketball team.
All right, but, go ahead.
All right,
Let me finish the Tigers discussion.
Yeah, I was going to keep an eye on the future real quick.
Ahead. Yeah.
Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson chosen to play in the futures game. Yep. Very cool.
Very cool.
So that's
so we're at the halfway point. The Tigers are 9-under. That was the good thing about McCoskey's article is he talked about the last two times the Tigers were 9-under.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time was in 2017 when they had the fire sale.
Right.
When Brad Ausmus had turned a group of guys that are still excelling in the major leagues, all over the league, that couldn't win, you know, were 9-under.
Yeah.
So they sold.
Not golf, folks, basically.
Right.
No, I'm just saying. So they I don't know if the tie – and that's when – Dombrowski pulled the trigger, and then Ilitch got rid of Dombrowski, and the whole thing turned into a crap match.
Let's look at the standings today, by the way.
Yeah,
third. AL Central, third place. They're ahead of Minnesota and Kansas City, but they're pretty far behind Cleveland and the White Sox.
Well, Cleveland's in big trouble. I mean, they got more injuries.
Yep.
I think the Tigers can get to second place.
Think so?
I think so. But we'll find out. Like I said, and I know he's from the Detroit News, but
McCoskey does a great job.
He wrote a great yin and yang. Yep. All the great things, all the things that could possibly go wrong. Yep. Let's not sell your house for your World Series tickets right now.
Yes.
But things are looking up. But like you said, Keith, last week, Al Avila's got to go. In fact, I hope they fire Al Avila before the trade deadline and just leave the team the way it is.
I'd like to see that. Yeah,
you know,
leave the team alone. Let this team grow up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, let's make A.J. Hinch the manager and the general manager.
Are there any of those guys?
I don't think
anymore?
That's ever happened since, like, Connie Mack.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
been a long time.
That's a pretty good idea.
Hinch has been a miracle worker.
Yep.
You take a look at why were they 4-19 or 8-19 in the month, the first month of the season? Do you know? Because
I don't know
how many fielding errors, many running errors. This team, they're not great at it, but they have improved in all the areas that they were absolutely pathetic. Rich,
yeah, I love how he really preaches the mental approach to the game, and now all the team seems like they're totally buying in, and it's fun to watch this team. What they've done with Akil Baddoo, who never played above single A ball, is amazing.
Yeah.
The season that kid's having.
He's their leadoff hitter, and he's their leadoff hitter because he's drawing a lot of walks, which is really hard to do as a young guy. But they've gone from near the bottom of the baseball in fielding to middle of the pack.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable.
And the bullpen was atrocious in that first month, but he didn't panic.
No. Yep.
You know, Funkhauser's back and Jimenez is better and everything else. So he's just been patient enough to get great performances out of these guys. And you know, Keith, the improvements only have to be marginal. But when you have marginal improvement from all 26 guys on your team.
Yeah.
I think what Vetter's doing with the pitching is just absolutely brilliant.
Agreed.
Turning these guys around in midseason.
Yeah. I mean,
it's good to see. Soto
and Cisneros have had all-star-like performances.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if Fulmer can come back and be effective.
Yep.
You know, we've all had that dream, guys. Tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. Well, on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same-game parlays, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day.
And when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with a promo code WGRY to get into the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code WGRY.
21 and over, present in the state of Michigan. First online real money wager only for a risk-free bet. Refund issued to non-withdrawable site credit that expires within 7 days. Restrictions do apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Yes, and here on Up North Sports Radio is your home for Tiger baseball. Guys, this the series with the White Sox, I think, is just critical.
Oh.
You know, if they can win a game or possibly win 2 out of 3, that's going to be great. Another sweep by the White Sox, you know, not that it'll be time to panic, but this is one of those series that, to me, Keith, smells like could be a turning point.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we saw maybe a little bit of a turning point last week when they played the hottest team in baseball, Houston Astros. Detroit, you know, they came to town. Detroit wins 2 of 4.
They could have won 3 of 4.
They could have won 3 and 4. Yeah. They're playing the better
and they
teams
and they
really
sweep a doubleheader from the Indians first time since what is it 80 what was it 87
about 100
or something
years. That's been a house of horrors there in Cleveland
and they started that series getting their butts whipped
giving up double digit runs.
I'm telling you, AJ Hinch is the manager of the year
they're
from what I'm right now
for sure. Casey Mize going against Lance Lynn tonight.
That's a pitching matchup. Take the under. You can go to FanDuel, put that thing on there. It's probably going to be under 7.5 runs, guys. I still like that under. I'm just guessing right now. But anyways, all the Tigers action, including the Miguel Cabrera watch, is right here on Up North Sports Radio. So go Tigers. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, on Saturdays and Sundays, we have the Finding Fairways program. Should be very interesting. And if you like any of these programs, by the way, you can go to upnorthsportsradio.com. We podcast all this stuff, so you can go back, and I can prove to you that Keith and Rich don't know anything. Great 4th of July weekend. Keith, fireworks and fishing for you?
Fireworks and fishing, time in the water, yep.
Yep, we're going to go over to relatives on the lake over in Hillman. And by the way, July is here, Saddle River Canoe Marathon. 80 teams signed up for the marathon.
So far.
And no Canadians.
A few are. There's a few of them
really?
That are, yes.
I did not see that. Okay,
yes.
We'll talk about that next week. That'll do it for us here on Friday Face Off, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, Northern Michigan's great adult playground.
Yeah, you may be right. You may be right because they